Okay. Turn to the Gospel of John. I don't know for sure, but we'll probably be pretty much in the Gospels this weekend. And John, you want to go to the 13th chapter. John chapter 13 through the end of the book of this particular Gospel covers a short period of time, and you find that Jesus gives some of his most important teachings to his disciples, beginning with John 13 and John 14, 15, 16, and 17. It's wound up by him going to the cross and his resurrection. So, beginning with chapter 13, we're going to read the very first verse. Put that in so that you know this is very important. John's gospel is very mystical. People usually tend to think of the book of Revelation as being the most mysterious and mystical book in the Bible. John wrote it too. But the gospel of John is a very mystical. A lot of hidden truths right in plain sight. So when you read this particular book, you want to read it prayerfully and just believe for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you. It takes time to learn how to let the Holy Spirit teach you. It's not something you learn in a day or even a month or a year, but it's something that you have to work on until you get to the place. It's like listening. We want to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, and we might be talking about this a little bit later, that the Word of God, we think of these writings as the Word of God. This is the Scripture writings, but the Word of God is the Lord Himself. He is the Word, and we need to remember that. And so we believe for Him to open up these Scriptures and to teach us. And John chapter 16 is very, very important, because that's when the Lord spoke to His disciples and said, I've got many, many, many things to tell you, but you're not able to bear them now. And so that's where we are. Many of the things that the Lord wants to teach us and speak to us about, we're not able, and we're having to learn how to hear. And so it's with your spirit that you must hear. So it takes time to learn how to listen with your spirit, so that you're not just listening for an audible voice, you see, but you're listening for that voice of the Lord that comes through that's inaudible. All right. First verse. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father. See, He knew that His time was drawing nigh. He was going to leave this world and go unto the Father. And then it says, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Now, He's speaking here primarily of His disciples. They're the ones that are His own, and they're in the world, and He loves them unto the end. But there's also a mystical part about this. It appears that they're the ones that are with Him right there, those 12 disciples. But when He says that He loved His own, He had some own before them. Well, you go all the way back to the Old Testament. You had Abraham, you had Moses, all of those old prophets. They belonged to Him. They were His own. And there's a lot of people today that are His own. And this thing of Him loving them to the end, it's something that is still going on today. But we're going to look at this as it was and the context of this verse here with his 12 disciples. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Now, the Greek word for end there is telos, is T-E-L-O-S, telos. I don't remember the strong concordance number for it right now, but you can look it up and find out very easily. But the end here is not the end of time. It's not the end of the age. It telos means the goal aimed at, you see. So there is something he wants those disciples to become. That's the goal. And he loves them unto the end. And what he's trying to tell us is that his love for them brings them in to what they're to be. Now, we learn that it's very, very important that we begin to see one another in the same way that the Lord sees us. And we might look at a scripture over in 2 Corinthians a little bit later that talks about that. We see no man after the flesh anymore. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, we shall know him that way no longer. So you ask the question, what about the girls? Well, guess what? It begins with you. Jesus knew what these disciples were to become. Each one of them. Matthew, he knew what he was to be. Luke, he knew what he was to be. John, Peter, each one. He had a revelation, not of just what they were at the moment, but he had a revelation and knew what the will of God was for them and what they were to become. You know, he walked by right at the beginning of his ministry, and Peter and his brother Andrew, there at the boat, they were fishermen. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You know, they don't know what he's talking about. I can imagine Peter saying, Andrew, what's a fisher of men? But they got up and followed. And you see, it's the same way with us. Let's face it. We don't know much about the Lord yet. We don't know what we're to become. What were, you know, those disciples, they said, we left all. What are we going to have? What's going to become of us? We don't know. You say, what is God's plan for us? What is his purpose? Man, you don't have a thin idea of what you're to be. But there's something that's attracting you and drawing you to follow the Lord, just like it was with Peter and John. They didn't know anything. And we'll get into it probably in another service that they walked with him for 3.5 years, and at the end of his ministry, when he gets ready to go, it's very obvious they didn't know any more then. And you can imagine, shoot, today a young man wants to be a minister and he goes to college, seminary, 3 or 4 years, and he's ready to get out there and do his thing. But gosh, these disciples were with the Lord Jesus himself. What a school that was for 3.5 years. And at the end of those 3.5 years, they didn't know very much. It's the love that's important. He loved them unto the end. Revelation is important. As a ministry that is responsible for you, it's my responsibility to know by revelation what you're to become. I must know what you're to be. And then the ministry, as I minister to you, as I teach you, as I bless you and everything, I'm doing that with this telos, this goal in mind of what you're to become. And Jesus has said, I love them until the end. Until they become, see, exactly what they're supposed to be. And Paul talks about one of his epistles. Man, he begins the work, he's going to finish it. You can be confident of this one thing. He is going to finish the work that he has begun with you. You say, God, I don't know too much yet. None of us know very much yet. But he knows you. He knows what he wants you to be. This is a responsibility that I have to you guys and other people that I minister to. And this is a responsibility that you have for the children. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what each one of them is to become. Now, let me give you an example. God's purpose is for her to become a real worshiper that worships the Lord in spirit and truth. Your job is to see her as that before she ever becomes it, and to relate to her in that way. And it's the same with each one of the other children. What the Lord reveals to you what that child is to be, and then that's the way you're going to relate to her. You say, but I can't get them to worship anything. You relate to them in that way. And when you deal with them, you deal with that one as a worshiper. And whatever for each one, it's an amazing thing. Now, every parent loves their children, but every parent doesn't love them enough to get the revelation of what they're to become. And you remember, I told you once before, you got a great responsibility. But you say, gosh, how can I do that? Well, you have to remember, God loves them more than you do. And God knows that you're the ones that he has to move through to teach them. And so it's a real learning process. You say, gosh, I've made so many mistakes with my kids. This guy has made more mistakes than you can imagine. But the Lord has a way. When you go east, when you should have gone west, but you got your heart set on the Lord, you're trying to do it, first thing you know, you're going in the wrong direction. Pretty soon you find they're over there where they ought to be. Because the Lord works, and he works through you. He will bless you. No one, there's not anyone that has more authority than the parents to minister to the children. Most parents will take their children to Sunday school or something, drop them off, and just put the responsibility on them. But they don't have the anointing. They don't love them like you can love them. God can't move through them like he can move through you. And so one of the first things you do is you realize, hey, God wants to use me to bless and to minister. And he wants this enough that he's going to teach me how to do it. And you might think you're making one mistake after another, but God's going to move through you. You see, and you've already stated your you already stated your heart. How can we do this? Well, that's what's in your heart. Here it is. He knew that the hour was come for him to depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end, until they become. Now, you want to make some short-term goals. Another example, you put the kids in school and they go through grade school. They get through the fifth grade, and they have reached the goal that they now can move into the middle school sixth grade. And they work at that, and eventually they get to the place of, hey, we can move into high school. They set another goal, and they reach that goal. And then the day comes when they graduate from high school. That was a telos. That was the goal that was aimed at. And some were going to college. But you make one goal, you make it, and you go to the next goal. And this is what the Lord has told me. He loved them until the end, until the goal was reached. And you'll be surprised how much you change in the process. just the way the Lord works.